What's happening, people? Sunday morning on the Rotobahn podcast. Pete Davidson here. This is sort of a I promised I'd do this kind of podcast. I'm not as far along as I really had hoped. Obviously, we've got some stuff shifting. I really poured everything I had this week into the rankings and the article I wrote yesterday. So this is really me catching up on my own personal lineup. So I'm going to be really doing, I'd say, 80% of what I'm going to have in play this week is going to happen between when I finish this podcast and lineup lock. But I have narrowed this thing down significantly for cash. So I just sort of want to share that with you guys. And I obviously use some money music for the bumpers today. Hopefully you guys appreciate that. My cash QB situation, I'm still very much leaning to Mahomes, but lineup construction has me considering Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray just because of the lineups that I can create at those lower numbers. So I think it's really going to ultimately come down to me looking at lineups with those three quarterbacks and picking the one I like the most. And I'm in the process of going through that. Probably got a ways to go. But I'm almost positive it's either going to be Mahomes, Lamar, or Kyler as my cash guy. With the running backs, the five running backs that I'm sort of trying the hardest to get in, it's going to be Malcolm Brown, who's locked in at 43. I'm taking that free square in cash. Then, depending on the lineup build, I'm probably going with either Carson, Lev Bell, Mark Ingram, which is probably going to be if Lamar is the quarterback. I just want to lock all that offense in. And then Kenyon Drake is the other guy I'm looking at. I just feel like he's going to get a lot of action today. He's a receiving back in a game that's going to be competitive where the Dolphins can actually play a little bit of offense, and he's only 4,400 units. So he gives me a way into different types of lineup builds if I want to double down with low running backs. So again, Mahomes, Jackson, Murray as my cash QB. Carson, Lev Bell, Mark Ingram, Kenyon Drake, Malcolm Brown, with Malcolm Brown locked in. Kittle was my locked-in tight end, and now I'm hemming and hawing, considering paying up for Kelsey in some builds. Kelsey becomes viable if I go to Kyler. The thing is, when I do Kyler, I sort of want to have Hooper in there, but I don't want to have Hooper and Julio in for cash, so that's going to be a decision I have to sort of figure out. But the cash tight ends at this point, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to use Kittle just because it feels like a knockout is too possible. So I think I'm looking at Kelsey, Ertz, Hooper, and Disley, probably with an emphasis on Kelsey and Hooper. And then at receiver, it's still a pretty big group. I've cut it down by about 60%. Julio, very much in the window. Same thing with DeAndre. Michael Thomas, definitely on the radar. With Tre'Quan Smith out, it's really just Ginn and Thomas at this point. And Jalen Ramsey is going to be a big factor there. I think he's pretty much out. I haven't checked, actually, in a while as to whether he's 100% out. It sounded like there's very little chance he's going to play. But if for some reason I hear Ramsey is available, I will probably reverse course on that one. In fact, I'm just going to queue up Jalen Ramsey right now. It would be a major surprise if he plays, is the way they have it. Technically questionable, major surprise if he plays. So Michael Thomas, definitely somebody I'm considering, and that's a 1 o'clock game, so I'll know about Ramsey. Larry Fitzgerald has moved way up with Christian Kirk out. Now he's 61, so you have to sort of move stuff around to get Fitz in sometimes, so I'm not 100% sure, but Fitz is definitely in my cash conversation now. Gallup is still in my cash conversation, leaning towards wanting him in if I can. Terry McLaurin was out, but now that we know that Miami's even more beat up in the secondary, he's in the conversation. Robert Woods, because of cost, could be a factor. D.D. Westbrook, because of cost, could be a factor. Crowder was definitely in the mix, but less so now because I know Kiki Kuti is a thing because Stills is out. So really, Kuti and Malcolm Brown are sort of where I'm starting my cash lineup now, and I'm looking at ways I can build around them where I feel the strongest. you know, the frustrating thing is I don't need cost savers as much this week, but those two are just so good. I love Kuti now at 35, knowing that Stills is out, knowing that they have to respect Fuller more than they than Fuller was respected last week. So that's really the core for me that I'm looking at. I'd like to find a way to get to Mahomes. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do it. I would like to have Malcolm Brown in there and Lev Bell. Not sure if I'm going to be able to get up to Bell or not, depending on, you know, who the receivers are. And, you know, the tight end is really going to have, you know, I think Kelsey I would like to do if I can find the money. And Kelsey really becomes a possibility with these other low-cost guys in the lineup. So that's sort of where I'm at right now with my cash lineup. And let's just, you know, while we're here, I've got a couple more minutes. Let's just talk a little bit in terms of GPPs, stuff that I like. Okay, so we're not going to hit any of the people we've already talked about here. Just here's a couple of names that I'm interested in. Well, a lot more than a couple. But these are people I will go to depending on how my lineup build goes in bigger tournaments where I'm totally willing to take more chances. Mostly I'm playing single entry tournaments, but I'm gonna throw a couple in the slant and a couple in the Millie Maker. Well, probably only one in the Millie. So in addition to the names we already mentioned, Deshaun Watson definitely in my tournament build list. I've already got one Deshaun team. I'm probably gonna make a couple more. I'm gonna do some Matt Ryan. Not a big fan on using Matt Ryan on grass in cash, but I'm definitely going to do a tournament lineup with him. And then Dak, who I love in GPPs this week. One of my Dak teams right now looks like Dak with Cook and Brown, with both Amari and Gallup in there, toying with the idea of putting Tyreek Hill in that lineup and putting it in the Millie. I've got Hooper at tight end. And then I'm looking at maybe one of the jet receivers to close it out, sort of as a correlational play across the you know, across the line of scrimmage. So definitely liking Dak and Amari Cooper. I like him, as I mentioned, just as much as I like Gallup, probably, you know, more really, but you pay a lot more for him. But definitely looking to get Amari involved in tournaments. The running backs, I'm still considering Kamara, depending on what we hear before 1 o'clock. Zeke Elliott, I may do an Elliott lineup just in case my Dak lineups go completely the wrong way. Zeke doesn't match up well against the Jets technically, but the Jets are definitely susceptible to just having their souls sucked out and having their wills broken. If that happens, it could be a big day for Zeke. The Jets aren't real tough between the ears under current management. Nick Chubb, I think, for GPPs is still in play. It's a tough matchup, but I think he's in play. Same thing with Fournette, tough matchup, but he's going to get the touches. You could use him if you were sort of feeling it. And then Damian Williams, I like in GPPs. A little too thin for cash, but if you're willing to take a chance, I think he could have an explosive game in GPPs, particularly if Tyreek Hill is active. Adrian Peterson, I think, is out there for the risk takers. 4,500 units. He's risky on DraftKings because obviously he needs to basically do it without receptions. You know, if he catches two passes, you're lucky. But, you know, this is a game where we don't know. This guy could get 30 carries. I don't know what's going on with Callahan, but you just get the feeling he wants to give you a traditional Adrian Peterson week. So it could be like 25 touches, and then it's a matter of whether they can break Miami down or not. Now, Miami runs Patriot philosophy. They do like to stop the run. I don't know if they're going to be able to or not. But if Peterson gets it going, he could have a big day here. I think in GPPs, if you're trying to get to particular players, trying to save money, you want to go like Brown and Peterson and then be able to do anything you want anywhere else. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I could see it. Duke Johnson, definitely risky, but I do think if this game breaks correctly, he could make a big impact. So I think some, you know, limited tournament exposure makes sense. And here's a real thin one, but Justice Hill. And I know you guys don't want to hear me mention his name anymore because I think we've all lost a couple bucks on Justice Hill in seasonal. But if you just look at the makeup of this game, Cincinnati is just pin high to be beaten outside. So, and again, this one's thin. It's if you really want to take a risk, open up some salary. He's 3,200 units. Could make a big play this week. It is definitely for the risk takers, though. It's unlikely to pay off. And then I think Dalvin Cook at 8,400 units, if you can find the space, if you're sitting there going, man, I've got a lot of money to use on a running back, he's not going to get a lot of rushing yards this week. But if they just target him like eight times, he could get 100 receiving yards against this team. So Cook, I think, is a GPP play, not a cash play. At tight end, I think Disley, Mark Andrews, and Gerald Everett, respectively, from a cost perspective. Disley 49, Andrews 48, and then Everett's sort of the low guy at 36. I think all these guys have GPP applications. Not really comfortable using in cash for various reasons. Disley probably the most cash viable of those three plays. And then when we get down to the receivers, you know, what can I say? I mean, if Tyreek Hill's starting, I mean, I despise him as an individual, but at 6,900 units, he's probably a moneymaker if he hits. Well, definitely a moneymaker if he hits in GPPs. I'm not going to go heavy on Hill because who knows what their intentions are. But if he's starting that game, I will have him in at least one GPP stack with Mahomes. Talked about Cooper, like him. Odell Beckham, way too thin for cash, but that price makes him very interesting in tournament play. Same kind of thing for Lockett. I'm not sure how game flow is going to affect him. He's had too many low target games to bet on a monster game. In cash, but certainly viable in a tournament stack with Wilson. Will Fuller, I'm sort of going against the grain, but nothing against Will Fuller at 6K this week. Definitely viable in stacks with Mahomes or counter stacks if you're using Watson. DJ Shark will probably be shadowed by Lattimore, but that doesn't mean he can't have a big game. So, you know, certainly in GPPs, I'm willing to toy with the idea of Shark. If you want to go against the grain on Julio, I think Calvin Ridley, there's nothing wrong with Calvin Ridley at 5,700. Cortland Sutton, we've seen his ability to drop multiple touchdowns, even with the low volume. I think at 5K, he's viable. And with the news Miami's going to be even more hurting in the secondary, I mentioned that McLaurin is maybe cash viable, but, you know, certainly he is GPP viable. Mecole Hardman, worth a look in GPPs, particularly if Hill is out. Robert Woods, I think, is GPP viable because he always shows us the upside. He does get some slot action, although in this game, the outside may be just as good. And he's so low at 5,600 units, so, you know, worth a look. And then the two Jets at 4K, Robbie and Jameson. I think, you know, in a very general sense, Anderson in GPPs, Crowder in cash, but I think you could mix it around. You could even build a cash lineup with both of those guys in it, you know, sort of as a block. I don't know. Interesting. I mentioned Pringle before in cash. I think he's a little bit more GPP viable now. And again, if Tyreek Hill is out, I sort of leaned on Hardman over DeMarcus. Hacksaw on the show was thinking maybe DeMarcus. I'm a little bit more to Hacksaw side the more I think about it. I think it's close. I mean, I think it could just go either way. So really, I think all, you know, if both Watkins and Hill are out, all of those chief receivers become viable in GPPs. I think Pringle becomes viable in cash. And that's pretty much the whole board for me. Some of the lineups I'm working on right now, I've got a Kyler Murray lineup I'm working on. And in my Murray lineups, I think it's the one thing I'm focused on is making sure I'm bringing back some Falcons, probably either Julio, Ridley, or Hooper. Probably Julio or Hooper. And then in my Prescott stack, the real question is, how do I want to bring the Jets back in that stack? Do I want to use Le'Veon? Do I prefer to use a receiver? Really, the Deshaun Watson stack is going to be fun. I've built one. I'm going to build a couple more. That's a really interesting game. The one thing I want you guys to focus on in that game, when you're putting it together, just remember, if you're stacking with Mahomes, really think about, I mean, in a GPP, it's one thing because you're willing to take chances. But if you're doing any correlations with Mahomes in cash, I really think, I would just, you know, to me, Watkins is out. That definitely gives you the ability to do it. If Hill was out, then I definitely would look to bring in one of those guys in cash, probably Pringle. The only thing is, you don't really need Pringle and Kuti in there. So you can hear me thinking out loud here. I think really in cash, I'm really thinking the naked Mahomes is probably the way to go. But definitely I'm not stacking unless things become more tight. And it would, for me to even consider it, I think I would need Hill and Watkins out. So that's pretty much going to do it. Went a little long here, 15 minutes. Sorry about that. And If you guys want to get back to me on Twitter, I would love feedback on when you guys like the podcast. My feeling is that the pod will be a little bit better if I do it on Sunday mornings, but the downside of that is you guys all have to find time to listen to it in sort of a tight 2.5-3 hour window. So I don't know how you guys feel about that. If you guys like the Sunday morning pod, I can switch the DFS to Sunday mornings. But, you know, that's the trade-off. I think you get a slightly better podcast, and it'd probably be a little bit shorter, but you have less time to listen to it. So tell me what you guys think on that. I'd be interested to hear. We can keep doing it the way we've done it, where when I feel like an update is called for, I can do it, and otherwise we just do a full thing on Saturday. But this is for you guys, so I'd be interested to know what you guys think. Anyway, that's going to do it for the brief Week 6 DFS pod on Rotobahn. Good luck with all your lineups. If you need any help from me, I should be online pretty well between like 11:45 and 12:30. That's probably the best time to get me. And the next time you'll hear from me will be on Tuesday with the Waiver Wire pod. So until then, onward, upward, good luck. Make some killer lineups and make some money. Talk to you guys later.
Chicks for free. money.